Welcome to the MBG podcast.
Let's fire everybody.
All right, welcome everybody to episode number 66 of the Message Board Geniuses podcast. This is Hoos. I got Casey, Joy, MBG. We're recording this on Wednesday evening, March 20th, so the NCAA tournament is officially underway. It's one of the most fun times of the year, depending on what fan base you root for.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to the most this year during the tourney, guys?
Clemson's going to win the whole thing.
The sharp turn from our pre-show discussion.
Well, we are recording a day after that Virginia Colorado State game, Hoos. That was a tough one, man.
Yeah, so the plan had been we got off track. We were going to record last night during the game, which we thought would have been funny, and it would have been. Because I would have broken Marler's record of most F-bombs dropped during a podcast. But it's safe to say that Virginia fans have been fighting for their lives on the timeline on Twitter today. It's just been a bloodbath. So I had a feeling it was going to go that way. We're broken on offense right now.
You think?
At one point, we had more fouls than field goals. I can't remember how far in the game that was, but... Yeah, man, it's been a tough 24 hours. I mean, I enjoy, you know, all the talking on Twitter. I think it's funny how many people are coming for us. But yeah, it's been a rough one. When you got like Stephen A. Smith saying Tony Bennett should be fired, we've reached a level of public consciousness that I'm pretty sure we had never reached before this year. So,
well, there were a couple posts from the Virginia board. We weren't going to read them today, but there was one that said, it's time. We have to fire Tony Bennett, and we have to hire either Chris Beard or Sean Miller. That's quite a left-hand turn from where you're at.
I mean, listen, this is going to sound pretentious because we are, but the idea of us ever hiring either of those guys, and there's, listen, I'm not saying they shouldn't be coaching, but if you know anything about my school, there is literally less than a 0% chance those guys would ever even get interviewed for the job. And yeah, let's fire the guy. We made the tourney like 9 out of the last 10 years. We, you know, won it, made the Elite Eight in the last 10 years, won the ACC like 6 times, I think. Yeah, let's fire that guy. They should be building that dude a statue. Like, but yeah. Listen,
can I interest you in a Brad Brownell?
No, you cannot. I mean, like, we had Dave Lato. Not too long ago. Do you know how atrocious and what a that guy is? Like, he was terrible. Yeah, let's go back to that. Or Pete Gillen. Pete Gillen used all our timeouts in the first 4 minutes before the 4 minute timeout every game. Let's go back to that. By the way, love Pete Gillen, but just he was atrocious for us. But,
Jeff Jones. Yeah. Can we go back to the Jeff Jones, Curtis Staples era?
Jeff Jones was pretty, that's a perfect example. Jeff Jones won 20 games 2 or 3 times. Like, he's looked at as, you know, one of the very good coaches that we've had. This is a guy we had right after Terry Holland. I mean, Bennett, we win 20 games a year. It's a roster issue. I mean, he's a great coach. Our roster was poorly constructed this year. And we don't have the fact that you got 22, 23 wins out of that team is insane. We're not good. We won, you know, over 20 games.
I mean, I have to say,
I'm not thinking about this during this episode. So, by the way, this is going to happen 2 or 3 times. This is just the warm up right here.
Well, I have to say, as a Mountain West fan, I was rooting against Virginia. So, I was pleased as a fan of a Mountain West team to see Colorado State beat Virginia as soundly as they did. ACC Twitter, for some reason, has been very condescending and dismissive of the Mountain West, given that the Mountain West got far more bids than they did. And so it was good to see that. And Casey, it'll hopefully be good to see New Mexico beat your Clemson Tigers on Friday afternoon. I think
two words, PJ Hall.
That's that's a tough matchup for you, though. I feel like Clemson is the one that really got screwed in that whole deal, because we were talking earlier, but New Mexico is not an 11 seed, and they're playing well. That's a team that I wouldn't want to play because they're feisty. They've got this little guard named – well, first off, if you want to feel old, they have Jalen House, who's Eddie House's son, Jamal Mashburn Jr., and they got one of the Toppin brothers.
Yeah, there's 37 of them. And how many initials can you put together to make a name? I mean, they're all OB, TP,
but they play at a fast pace. They're in your face. This little House kid, you'll want to punch him in the face by the end of the game, but he's a pesky little bugger.
We have a couple guards that might actually punch him.
Well, it could happen there.
Mountain West got underseeded. I felt like San Diego State wasn't underseeded, I don't think, but I felt like almost every other school, and let me make this clear. So there's a running joke with me and my buddies about how when we lost to UMBC, that UMBC really should have been a 15 seed. I'm not saying that Colorado State, we shouldn't have played them. Like, but I do think they were underseeded. I think a lot of the Mountain West teams are.
Yeah, here's the deal there. San Diego State was the 5 seed in the Mountain West tournament. They were the 5th place team in the Mountain West, and they got a 5 seed, right, in a 6-bid league. And then Utah State won the league. So you got out of 11 teams in the league, 6 of them are tournament worthy. So you're playing a tournament team every other game. And Utah State wins that league, and they get an 8 seed. Boise finished 3rd. They make it in by the skin of their teeth, apparently, because they're playing in a play-in game right now.
We beat them by 30.
Colorado State was the 7th place team. And they beat the ACC 3rd place team. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to make San Diego State a 5, then those other teams have got to be somewhat close to a 5 or better than a 5. So it didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I guess they based that partly on past futility in the tournament by Mountain West teams, which shouldn't be part of the criteria, but I think that's kind of what they based that on.
In my 456 brackets that I'd done for pools around the country, I picked Utah State just because of my loyalty to you. Yeah, I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm switching it to the Frogs. Let's go TCU.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was actively rooting against us, Casey. I didn't know with a heel turn.
I have to. That was the most that I've ever heard MBG talk. Like, he just kept going. Yeah. It felt like Casey asking a question. I was like,
"You love basketball, man.
Stop."
I had to get that off my chest. Now watch the Mountain West lose the remaining games. Watch them lose every single game from here on out.
If that happens and Colorado State beat us by 25, that's gonna actually never mind. It's not gonna be more depressing. I think we maxed out.
Unfortunately, I don't see North Carolina losing. I don't see them getting challenged until like the 8. So probably gonna have an ACC team
run. Yeah, I don't know about Duke. I think Duke is
a James Madison Duke possibility in round 2.
Yeah,
wild. I don't have Duke making it very far.
I got to tell you, JMU against Duke. I don't know who I root for there because I really started hating JMU. So
the Royal Duke talks
way too much about us. But I never mind. I can't root. I just won't watch that game because I can't root for
anyone. I just don't root for anyone. I hope all of your teams do really well.
Thank you, Joy.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Joy. I see LSU lost in the NIT.
First Congrats. Round. Woo-hoo, yeah. Go Tigers. Only, I mean, that's just the most LSU
Who'd
thing I've ever
play?
Heard. Let's beat Kentucky and South Carolina in the regular season, and then let's lose in the first round of the NIT. I mean, that's LSU at its core.
What's the problem?
Listen, something to be said about consistency, right? That's one. There aren't many surprises, at least for us, in the tournament anymore. So at least we got that going for us. All right. So I'm sure this is all going to come up again later. But for now, we'll move on to our mailbag question. This week's question comes to us from friend of the podcast, Evan Grimes, Twitter handle @fear_G, who asks, what's a song you jam out to while no one is around? Mine is Everywhere by Michelle Branch. There are different ways to approach this question, so I'm glad I get to go last because I want to see how y'all approach it. Casey, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, Evan Grimes, our boy, getting in this week. Great to see you, sir. Appreciate the question. music is pretty much my life outside of college athletics and message board fodder. I'm on the road a bunch, and I hate listening to podcasts. I mean, who would want to listen to other people blab on for long-winded diatribes that lead to nowhere? I don't, just don't have it in my DNA, and I'm not sure what animals could possibly do that. All right, I got lost thinking about the long-winded nature of some talking heads on podcasts and got infuriated there for a second. Back to the question, music. I really did have to think about this because if I had a nickel for every time I was caught jamming out to a quality tune in my car, I'd be rich, truly. I'm surprised I'm not on the talk ticks or whatever the young whippersnappers are calling it nowadays. All right, get to it. I think Joy did actually fall asleep on me here. I have a couple. Take On Me by A-ha. Do you know that song?
Of course.
The one with the piano part at the beginning. I swear you can play that part with one finger. Yeah. And I do it every time. All right.
There's a great punk cover of that, like pop punk cover of that song, actually. I can't remember the band that does it, but it's really good.
Is it Me First in the Gimme Gimmies?
Yeah, it might be. I love them. I think that is.
I don't know who you're talking about, all you young kids out here. I guess I'm showing my age. But what about Me by Moving Pictures is another one. Look it up, Evan. It's a doozy. How about the band Heart singing Alone? Like anything that they just belt out. How do I get you alone? Probably going to have to pay royalty fees.
Exactly what I was hoping for.
Faithfully by Journey. Come Sail Away by Christopher Cross. Or no, is that Styx? I think it's Styx. Anyway, the catalog is endless for me, man. I can't wait to get in the car tomorrow and find some obscure music to blast out of my Toyota Sienna minivan. I swear I'm on the verge of getting discovered. Or arrested. There's really a fine line. All right, I'll let Joy go now. I could go on for a long time here, but I edit this mess and I really don't want to listen to myself any longer than I have to.
I think Christopher Cross is Sailing, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. It was definitely Styx. And in my notes, I caught myself because when I was writing my notes, I definitely put Christopher Cross, and I know it's not Christopher Cross, but he's got plenty that I would belt out to. Plenty.
Those are all solid choices, by the way. A-ha in particular.
Joy's going with Taylor Swift or something, so I just wanted to liven it up a little bit.
Yeah. You got her locked in there. I like that. All right, Joy, who you got?
Mine's actually like somehow college football related. My guilty pleasure in the whole world is listening to Dixieland Delight, which feels like a crime against everything I believe in, but even like the added lyrics that their student section does, it's just catchy. And there's something about the fact that Tennessee fans hate that Alabama fans sing it that just gives this like added layer of me really thoroughly enjoying it. So Dixieland Delight is on my most frequently played songs, and I have zero issue belting it out at every hour of the day.
Nice.
I like that one. That was a good choice.
Thanks.
All right, MBG. I have a feeling I know what genre you're going to be going with here, right?
You might not. I don't know. But on somewhat on this note, I was in Vegas this week for the Mountain West tournament, and I on my way to the elevator, my daughter and I walked by a musician, the greatest hype man of all time,
Flavor Flav.
Guess who that is?
Mr. 305.
Flavor Flav. Flavin' Flav had on his bright red suit, big giant necklace, walking through the MGM Grand. It was awesome.
I saw Public Enemy in concert when I was 17, and I didn't know who they were. They were opening for Run DMC and the Beastie Boys. It was the best show I've ever seen. It was awesome. So yeah, I would have been going off if I ran into Flavin' Flav.
Yeah, my daughter wanted to know who it was. So the only video I could think of to show her that was clean was 911 as a joke. So we watched 911 as a joke a handful of times, which is a good song to jam out to if no one's looking. But that's not the one I was going to pick.
No one's looking. Because
there's a handful of these that I could pick. But one, and you won't guess these, but I like listening to The Gambler, Kenny Rogers, The Gambler and Lucille.
Wow.
You picked a fine time to leave me.
Those are both bangers.
Yeah, they are.
I know every word to both those songs.
Right?
We're the oldest podcast out there.
Yeah. So,
enjoy.
So initially, I was going to go with like Mariah Carey Fantasy, the remix.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love that one. But then I heard when I was listening to my tunes today, The Gambler came on. And so I had to go with the Gambler today.
It's a great, great song.
Solid.
R.I.P. Kenny.
Is he dead?
Is he?
I don't know. We kill somebody every week on this show, so I just don't
know. One of those Kennys, right? So I was thinking about this, like, as in the most embarrassing songs that I rock out to. And so, a couple of these are in the same vein and they're humiliating, but I fully admit that if they come on, I've got them downloaded. And if they come on the radio, I will definitely sing along. So, She Hates Me by Puddle of Mud, which is a fantastically terrible song.
Such a bad song.
Even where it gets worse. Rockstar by Nickelback.
Oh no.
That is the worst.
I'm gonna pop my pills.
I could see it.
Dispenser. Come on, man. Like
poetry. Lyrical yes. Genius. Lyrical genius.
Wasting Time by Kid Rock. Don't like Kid Rock personally. That song is a jam. And then this is a good song, though. Shimmy Shimmy Ya by Old Dirty Bastard. I don't know if you guys know.
Oh, yeah.
ODB.
That is an absolute banger. Yeah, that song kicks ass. So those are the four very weird song choices.
Eclectic. I like it.
It is eclectic.
That was a good question.
And, of course, we talked about this before, but, of course, Party in the USA. We talked about this on a previous podcast.
I felt like that was a given. Actually, it's on my list, but I was like, yeah, like that's more of a well-known banger than the rest of these. So. But I totally agree.
That was one of those subconscious bangers, though. Like, I had no idea that I liked that song till MBG said that in episode like 6, and then it came on the radio, and you literally find yourself. I mean, thank you for an audio medium, but you find yourself Party in the USA. I mean,
we need more questions that get Casey singing on the podcast while bobbing your head. Like,
big head.
All right, so that brings us to our...
I missed that joke. It was beautifully done.
Brings us to our next segment, Genius of the Week. As always, each of us is going to nominate a player, coach, team, conference, someone who did something particularly dumb in the last week, put it to a Twitter vote, and see who wins. For our last vote, this is 2 weeks ago, my nominee, Arch Manning, got 68% of the vote, followed by Joy's nominee, the ESPN intern, with 13%. Casey's nominee, the Troy bus driver, came in third with 11%. And MBG's nominee, Diego, finished in fourth with 8%. That was the guy who was spiking the drink with estrogen.
Yeah.
MBG got robbed.
That's really genius of the year, I think.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
He just keeps getting robbed week after week.
All right, so I'm in the lead with 24 wins, followed by Joy with 13, Casey with 12, Courtney with 1, MBG with 0. MBG, we've reached a milestone. You're now 0-50. For reference, in September 1980, McAllister College ended a 6-year, then NCAA record 50-game losing streak, knocking off Mount Scenario College 17-14 on a last-second field goal. McAllister's worst season during the losing streak came in 1977, when they gave up 59.1 points per game and lost to the Concordia Moorhead Cobbers 97-6.
So MBG, Cobbers are tough, man.
Totally threw it in there just because Cobbers was such a fantastic mascot name. I'm glad you picked up on that. So once again, MBG, you are in fine company. All right, Casey, who you got this week?
I'm going to be uncharacteristically short this week, really, because I was covering a Clemson game last night when I was doing my prep, and they expected me to watch and report on the game at hand and try to prep for this because I thought we were doing it last night. Anyway, Twitter poll vote buyers are my genius of the week. Not sure many out there saw it on the app in recent days, but there was one close to me between Clemson and South Carolina fan accounts that was going on. It got down to I think it was the Elite Eight, and someone somewhere out in the Twitterverse decided to pay for votes. Now, I'm probably dating myself here, but you can buy votes for a Twitter poll? Is that like the poor man's version of paying NIL? This was a fun, nothing-based Twitter poll between fans of rival schools that was actually all in good fun, to be honest. Then all of a sudden, with the click of a button on some website making money on people's stupidity, turned into a sad, sad underworld version of Twitter. People that take Twitter polls that seriously need to get a life And for that, Twitter poll vote buyers are my geniuses of the week.
Is that going to fit in the Twitter poll box?
You know what? I don't win this MBG, so just I try to make the longest possible to make you guys do some work in trying to fit it in the vote box.
Yeah, Twitter poll bot buyers that might work. I'm not sure. All right, Joy, who you got?
Mine is very recent, as of a few hours ago. Mine is going to be Shohei Ohtani's in translator, who was fired today by the Dodgers. He has allegedly taken millions of dollars to fund his gambling habit. I just find that absolutely hilarious, for starters. I mean, did you think you weren't going to get caught? And secondly, it just makes you think, like, was he actually translating correctly for all of this time? They were longtime friends, so I kind of feel bad for Ohtani, but it is what it is. But I just think it's absolutely hysterical that he thought he was going to get away with that. So for that, he is my genius of the week.
Yeah, it was like his best friend, wasn't he? Brought over, I think he was his translator.
Childhood friend.
Yeah. God, that would suck.
Someone on Twitter said that, you know, after $4.5 million was taken out of your account, it should have shown up on Ohtani's phone that that big transaction was taking place. I'm not sure what that number is for rich people that you get those. You
know, or if alerts. He's even checking.
I was going to say, I don't even think they get them. Like, their accountant probably just calls and says, like, hey.
You know, you spent $4.5 million on the under.
All right, MBG. 0-50. Is this you going to break the streak this week?
I think so. This should be the week. I got one. This one came in off the tip line. So my geniuses of the week are going to be a couple of rascals from Taiwan.
Rascals.
By the name of Zhang and Liao, I think would be how you'd pronounce that. So here's what happened with these two rascals. Says a university student in Taiwan who had his legs amputated in hopes of receiving a $1.3 million insurance payout has been arrested on suspicion of fraud, local prosecutors said. The 23-year-old identified as Zhang plunged his feet into a bucket of dry ice for over 10 hours to get them so badly frostbitten that he would need a double amputation. The Taiwan Criminal Investigation Bureau said that a friend of Zhang's from high school, identified only as Liao, persuaded him to carry out the insurance scam. Liao also, 23, suffered losses from trading cryptocurrency, and he tricked Zhang into signing a legal note obligating him to pay about $800,000 per the investigators. According to Taiwan News, Liao told Zhang that gangsters were pursuing him. On January 26, 2023, Liao and Zhang rode around Taipei on a motorbike at night, wanting to present the claim that Zhang was afflicted with frostbite while riding the vehicle in the late evening, investigators said. Just days before, Zhang bought several expensive life insurance, travel insurance, and accident insurance policies. After the motorized bike ride, Zhang soaked his feet in the dry ice and was admitted to the hospital per investigators. But medical staff sensed something was amiss while assessing him. His legs bore no shoe or sock marks, and his injuries appeared symmetrical, which were inconsistent with naturally occurring frostbite injury, investigators said. So Liao and Zhang thought they had an insurance scam going. All they had to do was get Zhang's legs amputated, and they were going to get $1.3 million, but their scam was busted. They only got about $7,200, but they had to pay it back. So for losing his limbs and going to jail all at the same time, Zhang and his friend Liao are my geniuses of the week.
Being pursued by gangsters and then choosing to freeze your legs off seems like a bad life decision.
How persuasive must this guy be that he can convince his buddy to get his legs amputated and give him a good portion of the insurance money that he's going to get for doing it?
Yeah, at what point in your life you're like, you know what? Yeah, I don't need those legs anymore. Yeah.
He makes Ohtani's friends seem not that bad, right?
Yep. Old Liao needs to choose better friends, it looks like.
That's the moral of the story.
MVP, I think our next piece of merch that comes out should be the front can just say, this is the week. And then the back can have a list of every weird person's name that you've used as your genius of the week.
Like a cross through it.
With cross through them all.
Like, this is the week.
Diego.
I would rock it for sure.
That would actually be awesome.
Zhao and Lai. I think this is the second time we had Zhao on.
No, all right, this was Zhao.
The unfortunate part of it, they can't be read, and I would have to like play them in MBG's accent every time I saw
it. Put a button on it that you just push the button and it makes the sound.
All right. So my genius of the week is Twitter user at BigBad_Brad32. And this story begins with Auburn guard Katie Johnson. Johnson did a little bit of everything in Auburn's, I think it was quarterfinal win over South Carolina in the SEC tournament. He finished with 10 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. And in addition to that, according to Big Bad Brad 32, who appears to be an Auburn student, Johnson managed to turn in a homework assignment during the game as well. Big Bad Brad, I don't know if you all saw this, he posted a screenshot of the Canvas app, which I guess is something that the youth are using these days, showing a notification that showed up on his phone during the game, I think maybe while Johnson was sitting on the bench, which, I don't know, makes it even funnier to me. This predictably caused Auburn fans to freak out and tell him to delete the post, while Twitter users from every other fan base started calling for sanctions and for Auburn to forfeit. This included one particularly overzealous poster who tagged not only NCAA compliance, but also Joe Biden and the city of Nashville, which I found freaking hilarious. So for snitching on his own team for Twitter clout, at BigBad_Brad32 is my genius of the week. Yeah, it was just funny. I don't know if y'all saw the post, but Auburn fans were freaking out. Like, why are you snitching? So he said, why are you dry snitching on us? Which I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to start using that expression.
I like how he said, everybody's saying delete, but it's not that deep.
All right, before we move on to our next segment, we want to give a quick shout out to CFB Home for sponsoring the MBG podcast. You can find them on Twitter at CFB Home and online at fifthquarter.net. Also, we're doing a couple of cross promotions with other podcasts again this week. The first is with the Sickos Committee podcast. They had a new episode drop yesterday titled Premature Confetti, where they discussed March Madness, men's conference tourney chaos, the Long Beach State coaching situation, premature confetti, and other classic Sickos content. Also doing a cross promotion with the Slander U podcast. They haven't dropped a new show since our last show, but they have lots of great content from last season you can check out. And finally, we wanted to give a quick shout out to our friend Chris Marler and his new podcast, Fourth and Wrong. There are a few episodes in and it's fantastic, so make sure to check that out as well.
When did we discuss supporting Chris Marler?
I threw that in. he's my guy.
Who's?
That reminds me, I need to write down how many bleeps he had during his
episode. Yeah, we should.
So we have a number.
That would be some good trick.
I'm just kidding, Marlon. If you hear this, I support you 150%.
All right, MBG. Got some good stuff lined up for us this week?
Well, I do. I'm trying to keep it all basketball related. And I think this one is basketball related to an extent. Nebraska fans have had a bit of a rough week in that they lost their athletic director to Trev Albers, and they lost him to Texas A&M. And subsequent to that, the NCAA tournament pitted both the men's and women's basketball teams against Texas A&M in the tournament, which should be interesting to watch and a little bit awkward for Mr. Alberts, I think.
That's where he's going, right? He's going to, or he's already there.
I don't know if they're trolling or what, but if not, it was the best unintentional troll of all time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to be, I'm guessing Trev is not going to attend those games. Maybe he will, but the camera's going to stay with him the whole time if he is. But when that news broke, Nebraska fans really struggled with how to react. And to be fair, I don't really blame them, because it's not like your typical athletic director leaving the department. I mean, he's a legend at Nebraska, and his name is actually on the stadium, right? His name and number, I think, are retired there in the stadium, which prompted Nebraska fans to want that removed. There was a post that says, "What's the process for removing a name from the stadium?" And then a couple others say, "Oh, his name totally needs to be erased. This chicken shite move and the way it went down has cemented his name right next to Scott Frost. Next guy says, I agree. His name should never be in print from the university again. And then another guy just recommended to put an asterisk by his name inside the stadium. So y'all think that Nebraska should be taking his name off the stadium?
No, just an asterisk will work.
I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen a fan base unanimously support the message board post that you posted on Twitter. Like every, I don't know if you saw every Nebraska fan, like that was the least they wanted done to Trev Alford, just taking his name off the stadium. There's a lot worse stuff in there than that.
Oh, there was a lot of bad stuff being said about Trev Alford. Some I posted, some I refrained from posting, and some of the Twitter, some of the stuff on Twitter was downright nasty.
Yeah, it was interesting because I love Nebraska's fan base. I think they're fun. They're super passionate. This is by far the most vitriol I've seen come from them. I mean, they're pretty positive and, you know, kind of uplift one another, and they are pissed. And I don't know if you guys have seen, Alberts keeps making it worse because he keeps tweeting. He's tweeting about Nebraska, and every time he does it, they lose their all over again. It's happened like five times.
This goes back to my theory that you should never hire as a coach or an athletic director a legend from your own school, because it really only ends one of two ways. Either it ends this way, that that person leaves, or that you have to fire him. And there's bad blood on one side or the other. Just hire someone from outside the family. It makes it for an easier divorce or split when that has to come. But when you hire a legend, this stuff seems like it's going to happen. Very few times does the legend just ride off into the sunset at the end of the day.
That's what I don't understand.
You should have just left after 2019. You should have just, because you were never going to top it. So you should have just exited a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, why? You would think that that's the dream job, but it happens so often that it ends in this messy divorce. But they keep doing it. Oh, it's not going to happen to us.
Seems like it would happen less often with an AD like that. I think that's probably part of where this is coming from, where, you know, the issue with a coach, if it's a former player, they're almost always going to get fired at some point, right? Like there aren't many coaches who they're going to coach at their alma mater and go somewhere else. They're usually, you know, I can't think of many people who have done that anyway, but you would think an AD, I don't know, they don't seem to move around quite as much. So I think maybe that was part of what's going on here too. And they build their people up so much. Like, that's part of it with Nebraska fans, right? It's not a bad thing, but they build them up to be these, you know, they're part of the Nebraska family and all this stuff. So the fact that one of them turned their back on them, I think, is just has them shook, because they've been saying some nasty like, it's been wild.
Yeah, I think you expect a different level of loyalty at that position than you do a coach.
Yeah,
and he's going to a former Big 12, Big 8 rival. I know they don't play each other anymore, but that's lower level. It's not Colorado, it's not Oklahoma, but it's the next tier.
I don't really care who wins those basketball games, but I want to see if Texas A&M wins them. I want to see what Trev Albers tweets and what the replies are to it.
So even today. You saw Nebraska. I think Nebraska named a new AD today, right? The guy from Washington.
Yeah.
And Albert just sent a congratulatory tweet, and people lost their minds. Like, stop tweeting. Shut the fuck up, Trev. You're the girl who broke up with her boyfriend but won't leave him alone. Don't come back to Lincoln. And then somebody posted, they made an All My Homies Hate Trev t-shirt that they posted in the thread.
Start following this guy.
Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious.
No, really, I'm on it right now. He's really, it's funny because, you know, at some point he's just trolling. Like, it's just fun.
I don't know if he's smart enough to just be trolling.
I mean, if he reads the replies, he's got to be dumb to not know. It's coming across as either tone deaf or trolling, one of the two. But either way, man, it's like,
well, if you Google the term tone deaf, you'll find a photo of Trev as the top speaker.
Anyways, I'm going to keep my eye on that game. That's for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
All right. Next post. This is a post. I picked this post for a couple reasons. One, because it's from Vanderbilt and we don't talk about Vanderbilt probably at all, unless we're making fun of them. And two, I had to pick it because, one, it's in all caps, It's full of profanity. And the last line is the greatest zinger of all time. So stay tuned. It's an all-timer. So this, I think this post was before they announced that they were parting ways with Jerry Stackhouse. And there was this one poster on the thread who was proposing that Stackhouse should be fired, that they should keep him around. And this guy comes in and he's accurately, his screen name is accurate. He's the Downvote Bandit. And keep in mind, when I read this, he's typing this in all caps. I'm not going to yell it, but he's typing this in all caps. He says, "It was year four, you dumb." And he didn't dominate. He missed the tournament because he's hot and garbage. Damn it. I feel like it's easier to reason with my five-year-old daughter when I tell her it's time to go to bed. You might literally be the dumbest mother ever on this board. Nope, not might. You are the dumbest mother ever on this board. And here it goes. Get ready. You drive a V6 Mustang.
Boom. Boom.
Out of nowhere.
He calls him mother effer like four or five times, and then he really accelerates it there. By telling him he drives a V6 Mustang.
I mean, it's beautifully executed.
Is there a worse insult than someone telling you you drive a V6 Mustang?
Yeah, probably being a Vandy fan.
Somebody quote tweeted this and said, I don't know why this made me laugh. V6 Mustang boys, BOIS, raised in a thread about Stackhouse.
Oh my god. Why is BOIS so funny?
I know, but that one killed me for some reason.
I don't know why that post killed me so much.
But I kind of want to hear how this guy deals with his five-year-old daughter when she won't go to bed, too, right? Does he just lose? You are the dumbest mother ever.
All right.
Thanks, man.
It was. All right, we'll stay in the SEC. Kentucky fans are great in basketball season, I've found. There, you cannot please Kentucky fans at all. And John Calipari is in a no-win situation. And they bowed out early in the SEC tournament, right? And so this post was sometime after they had lost in the SEC tournament, which I think they lost in the first round, and before the NCAA tournament. And this guy, Stinchy Mouse, says a championship won't make up for this. Nothing makes up for another first round SEC tournament exit. So John Calipari cannot redeem himself with a national championship. Even the SEC tournament, apparently this isn't the only post like this. There were other Kentucky posts like this where they apparently care quite a bit about the SEC tournament.
They take over. When the SEC tournaments in whatever city it's in, it's just a sea of blue. Like, that is no joke. They're a 3 seed.
Like, yeah,
they're one of the top 12 teams in the country. And if they're hot, they could make a run too. I wish I was a fan of a team that was a three seed. Anyway.
Well, do people care about conference? It's cool. I get it if it's an automatic qualifier thing. That's huge if you win your conference tournament. Mm-hmm. But for a team like Kentucky, like, it'd be cool to win it. But, like, is it that big a deal? Like, because now it doesn't even seem like the seeds get affected that much by who wins the conference tournament. It might move you up or down, like, one or maybe two.
They could have played themselves to a 2 seed maybe. They weren't getting up to the one line at all.
Not only that, but if you got guys with dings and cuts and bruises, and I don't know why I said cuts, but now you get extra rest, especially if you're safe, you know?
Sure.
Because, like, we've won the ACC tourney a couple times under Bennett. We won the national title under – there's no comparison.
Humble brag.
Like, no, I'm just saying, like, ACC tourneys, they were nice, but, like, we didn't win the ACC tourney the year we won the national championship. And all I remember thinking is – oh, it sucks, but we get, like you said, a little extra rest for the tourney. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you look at NC State winning 5 games in 5 days, and they're all banged up. You think they're going to be ready and 100% come tomorrow or Thursday, Friday, whenever they play? They're going to be banged up. They could have used 5 days, but they needed it to get in. But Kentucky now has 2 weeks.
that fan base is unhinged, by the way. I didn't realize it till they won the ACC tournament. There are people on Twitter talking about they should be, they can't believe Raleigh isn't having a parade to celebrate them winning the ACC tournament.
You just got to let them have it. I mean, it's NC State for crying out loud. Like, they're the little brother of little brother of little brothers. Like, you just got it. Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like the middle child. Every now and then you just got to give them something so they'll just shut up. Like, that is NC State right now. You just got to let them have
Appalachian
it.
Appalachian State pats them on the head and says,
yeah, okay. Like, I mean, genuinely, no one gives less of a rip in that state about any other school than they do NC State. So you just got to let them. I mean, like, let them have their 2 minutes of fame because it'll dissipate in 20 seconds.
Well, that is a – oh, go ahead. Who's?
I was going to say, the other thing with this Kentucky post is, you know, it sounds completely unreasonable and ridiculous. And then was it 2 weeks ago we had a guy talking about self-immolation to try and get Calipari fired out of Kentucky.
That's right.
Yeah. That. So in the grand scheme of things, this isn't even that outlandish, I guess.
No, it's not. And if they lose before the Elite Eight, oh, we're going to see some great things on here. We'll be talking Kentucky.
I think they have an easy run too.
I do too. I think they're going to – they. I think they got a good chance to win it all.
If they get hot, they can definitely run off a few wins in a row. Absolutely.
Man, I hope they're freezing ice cold.
All right. Well, we were talking about NC State winning the ACC, right? And they beat North Carolina, did they not?
To win they did.
The they
ACC
did. Title?
And Duke.
They did. They beat Duke.
They beat them all.
And Carolina.
So this apparently, before the tournament started, it sounds like this had Virginia fans a little bit worried that that was what was going to keep them out of the tournament, was NC State essentially stealing a bid there. So one of your friends who's from the Wahoos 247 board, Hoo-Wah, he had a conspiracy theory. He said, after watching that game, and this could be Hoos.
One of his college buddies.
I'm not convinced.
Who right in the name?
I know. I'm not totally convinced it's not.
It must be me.
He says, with all the other top four seeds losing over the last 2 days, do you think UNC tanked the game last night so that UVA would miss the NCAAs? No skin off their nose by losing, but by elevating North Carolina State to an automatic bid, they could really put the hammer down on the Hoos. Nah, probably not. But still, you wonder. So he knows he's saying something stupid there, but he still thinks there might be. He's still hedging on it there a little bit. But I didn't realize, does North Carolina hate Virginia that bad that they would tank a championship game?
North Carolina hates NC State so much more than they hate us. I think anyway.
I think North Carolina probably hates a couple schools more than they hate Virginia.
I mean, if you ask Carolina fans, and I think this is even some comments in this thread, they're like, oh, we don't even think about Virginia. Well, we've kind of owned them over the last, like, several years. Yeah, I mean, the idea that they would lose to their arch rival just to hurt us is message board genius worthy of a post, because there's no way that happened. I will say, though, that I mentioned this earlier. I'm fully enjoying that we've been elevated to the point where there are conspiracy theories floating around and that people hate it. Like, it makes Twitter much more fun because people just ignore us for the most part, you know, during every other season. So I feel like we're like semi-important for like a week or two here.
That guy with the sweatshirt was awesome with the Virginia basketball is Iowa football. And then I love the retort on Twitter that said, except we win national championship.
I do like the thought of Hubert Davis in the locker room beforehand going to the guys and saying, hey, look, we can either let North Carolina State in the tournament or Virginia. Who you guys want in and who you want out? And apparently it was a unanimous vote that they wanted to keep Virginia out.
All right.
But their devious plot was foiled by the committee. They let Virginia in anyways.
Former ACC commissioner John Swofford, if he was still in his position, that one might turn your head a little bit, but I don't know. Well,
apparently there is other stuff going on too, MBG. I think you even posted this. This is from a Twitter account. They said people are failing to see the primary reason Virginia made the tournament. Several of the selection committee members have juniors and seniors in high school, and they've all applied to UVA. So, yeah,
I'm sure.
Trying to grease the wheels in the admissions department there, huh?
Right.
I'm sure that's what
genius.
I like a little NCAA tournament selection committee conspiracy theories. Those are good ones.
Oh yeah.
All right. Last post. This is a post about our friend Will Wade, which Will Wade is the new Urban Meyer. Anytime any school even thinks about firing their coach, the very first name that their fans bring up is Will Wade. Will Wade. Everybody wants Will Wade. And I don't really get it because he didn't light the world on fire at LSU. What was the best he did at LSU? Sweet 16? He didn't make a Sweet 16. I think he made round of 32 is the best he ever did.
No, he made Sweet 16.
Did he?
The year they had Nas Reed and Skylar Mays and all of them, they made the Sweet 16.
But it's not like he was out winning natties or even sniffing the Final Four. But for some reason, everybody wants Will Wade. So West Virginia is looking for a coach. This is an all-timer, I think, post-wise. And really what they're discussing here is why not Will Wade? Some of the posters are objecting to Will Wade because they're sensible. And this guy, Dolly772, is saying that it doesn't make any sense to him why they wouldn't consider Will Wade. He said, makes no sense to me either. There is widespread to unanimous agreement now that not paying the college athletes was not just wrong, but immoral. What is being held against Wade then? He was right, and the NCAA was wrong. And I know the argument against this is the rules prohibited what he was doing when he did it. But you don't need to look too hard for other examples of people who were ahead of their time in recognizing the rules had no moral basis. And he gives some examples. These are the three people he decided to choose of people who knew that the rules or didn't recognize the rules as having moral basis. First one was George Washington, British rule over colonies. 2, Rosa Parks, segregation. 3, the Macho Man Randy Savage. Ooh. Violated lifetime ban via career versus career match with the Ultimate Warrior to defend Miss Elizabeth from Jake the Snake Roberts. All of these heroes broke the rules, but were swiftly vindicated by history and or Jack Tunney. No, no clue why we'd willingly consign ourselves to the wrong side of history by ruling out Wade. So just like great, great characters in history, George Washington, Rosa Parks, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage, Will Wade is on the right side of the moral dilemma here.
These are all great American heroes. You know, probably the first three that you think of.
The Macho Man should have had a lifetime ban when he used the ringside bell to crush Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's larynx prior to WrestleMania 3.
I can just envision like a history teacher in grade school, like dividing kids up and saying, okay, you guys over here, you do a report on George Washington. You guys do a report on Rosa Parks. You guys do a report on the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
And I love that the example, the Macho Man example is so much more fleshed out than the other ones too, right?
Well, he's
clearly much more interested in that one.
They used Jack Tunney, the former president of the WWF. It was perfectly done. Poor Will Wade, Clemson alum, Will Wade.
Will Wade.
I like Will Wade.
Well, hey, I like Rosa Parks, George Washington, and the Macho Man Randy Savage. Why would I not like Will Wade?
Sure. All these things are connected.
You would have come out and been against the rules, too, if Jake the Snake Roberts was going to use that Lucifer snake that he had and put it on Miss Elizabeth. You would have, too, MBG.
Okay, have you guys ever... Yeah, you didn't have to read the Wikipedia page to remember all this stuff, is what it sounds like to me.
I was a big fan until about WrestleMania 12.
I literally only know about half of what y'all are talking about.
Okay, did you ever go to a wrestling match?
Only in college. We went to WCW Nitro. It was in Greenville at the Bilo Center. That was the only time, and I went and saw Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, yeah, DDP.
Yeah.
So I will reluctantly admit that there was... I will reluctantly admit that there was a short period of time where I did watch wrestling, and then I went to, I think it was Monday Night Raw or something, And when you go see it in person, it looks so much more fake than it does on TV.
Yeah, they don't have the camera angles. You're literally looking at it from the same angle.
As soon as I watched it in person, I was done. I was out. There was no more. It wasn't near as exciting in person. So if you're a wrestling fan and you've never gone in person, don't. It'll spoil it for you. Just enjoy watching. I don't know what channel that's on anymore. USA Network, TNT.
It's fake?
No, I'm just saying it looks fake in person.
Oh, okay.
I love that we're imparting these life lessons from the podcast.
I'm just saying, there's anyone out there.
Professional wrestling in person.
Just enjoy it from the comfort of your own home. You'll enjoy it much more. I saw Hollywood Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin, I believe, and Goldberg.
How could you not?
The closest I got was Dr. Death, Steve Williams. I grew up with his son. His son was in my elementary school class.
Was he mean? Did he beat the crap out of people?
No, he was so kind.
So you're saying wrestling's all a lie?
Yeah, I was really hoping the kid would be a terror.
That was very kind.
Good stuff this week, Jimmy G.
Yeah, those are funny. But that's all I got.
That one got a lot of upvotes, by the way, which it should have. So
it should. I mean,
well played for president.
Well thought out, well put together. Anytime we can work in the Macho Man Randy Savage, we do it.
Do y'all think he takes another job?
Who, Randy Savage?
Yes.
he's with the gambler, I think.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. R.I.P. R.I.P. Macho Man. I'm gonna snap into a Slim Jim tonight just for that.
His commercials were so good, by the way.
Y'all are so frustrating sometimes. Is Will Wade gonna take another job?
As a wrestler?
I quit.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode, the MBG Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. You can check out more content at messageboardgeniuses.com. And we'll see you next time, losers.